This week's podcast is brought to you by Crown Contracting, proud supporters of Rocket Football.
Coach Starnes, we're headed into district play. This is something we've been waiting on since the first game. This is a highlight of the season. This is what we play for. And I know you've made a statement the last few weeks. You've been working on some things in games just to get ready for district play. So we go to Fulton City, pretty long trip on Friday night. And we'll see the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and we're excited about it, Chris. We're ready to get in district play. And, you know, everything that you do prior to district play is getting ready for these games. Simply because when you play in the district, the wins and losses mean something. You know, non-district games, they really don't mean anything except for pride. And so what we're doing right now is you know, we're getting the kids to understand that these district games, we can't make the mistakes that we have made in the past and expect to win because these games mean something. And Chris, this means a lot. And you know, I was honest with the kids right up front. You know, some coaches don't want to put pressure on the kids or tell them the outcomes of games, the meanings of them. But it's very simple. And we win this game and we're automatically second in our district at worst case scenario. The reason why I told them, because the same breath, Fulton City's the same way. You know, they beat us, the worst case scenario is that they're second in the district. And, you know, for them to host a playoff game, that I don't think they've done in a while, you know, it's big for their program. And I know the coach over there, their first step in trying to build a program is to beat Crittenden County, because, you know, I know that they're like us simply because we know that Russellville's the best team in the district. We get that. And we're shooting for them. And because in order to win it, you got to beat Russellville. But you got to make baby steps. And that's what we did last year coming back into district. You know, we wanted to at least finish second with a home playoff game. And so that's what we want to do this year. We want to make sure we continue that, finish second. So it starts with Fulton City. But make no mistake, I can tell you, they're a good football team. I think their only win came from Fulton County. But they have some talent. And the thing that scares me is that although they have about 17 kids on their roster, they have three or four kids that really can make things happen. I mean, they have a quarterback that I think he's a freshman quarterback. His name is Madding. He moves well, you know. But you know, they have some big kids up front that I mean, really can be a difference in ball game. But you know, they have Aaron Farrell that is quick as a cat, quicker than a hiccup. And he can be a difference maker. And you know, they also have I think their leading rusher is a guy named Michael Downing. They also have
Tyler Bishop.
They also have Tyler Bishop.
He's been there for like 18 years, I think.
Well, he's been there a while, but he's a good athlete, you know. So I mean, they have some kids that can make things happen, and that's what we have to watch for, because you know, they'll do unorthodox stuff, and because they do, you know, they'll reverse their field in a heartbeat if they think they can beat it. They'll give up 30 yards one play just to try to get the 15 yards that they need for a first down or a touchdown. So that's what we have to watch for.
They like to spread you out and get you one-on-one and make you make mistakes because they have the athletes. Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of funny how they do have these athletes year after year, but at the same token, on the opposite side, it seems the teams that they play and they're losing to, because the teams are more disciplined, maybe at times better coach. I think their coaching is getting better there. But they are 1-5 on the season. They've lost to four Tennessee teams: Stewart County, South Fulton, Gibson County, and Greenfield, and none of those are great bastions of dynamics, you know, dynamic football teams. The only team they've lost to in Kentucky was Ballard Memorial, and like you said, they beat Fulton County 40-18.
Yeah, and again, Chris, I think what it is as I stated in the first part of this podcast, is, you know, that games before district really don't matter. It's a matter of pride. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that they're going to come into this game because it has such a tremendous meaning to the outcome in the playoff picture.
They've won their only district game.
That's right, and they're going to play hard. Mm-hmm. Now, again, they only have about 17 kids, and the key to this game is to get them down early. And if you get them down early, then they won't play as hard, and that's evident on the film. And so as long as we have a chance in the fourth quarter, I think that our conditioning will play a big factor in it. We have made sure that the coordinators know, especially Sean Thompson, is to speed the game up even more and try to tire these guys out, these big guys up front. So, we're going to try to do our fast-paced offense and see if we can make things happen.
They hadn't scored a lot of points this year, 72 points in five games. But you say this quarterback is not bad. He's pretty efficient. He's completed 18 of 46 passes for pretty close to 250 yards. But, Hunter Boone can have that in half.
Yeah, and, in his defense, he's always on the run. I mean, protection-wise, sure. Yeah. So we have to understand that defensively as well. We have to move the kids around. I mean, they're big guys up front. They are big guys. They don't move that well, but they're huge. Mm-hmm. And so we can't stand toe-to-toe with them. We have to be able to move them and get some pressure and make things happen. And, so that's what we're excited about. And another key factor is going to be our special teams. They do some things that we're going to take advantage of. And if we don't execute, we could be in trouble. And so, we've got a couple pluses and feathers in our cap that we can do there, and we're going to look to do that. So, and again, that's what the coordinators allow me to do is coach the special team. So, we try to set things up, and I'm setting up offensive and defensive packages from the special teams that I'm allowed to coach. So, it's pretty fun.
But, I do remember when you were in college and Coach Beamer was always big on special teams.
Yeah,
a game can turn on a dime.
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough to be on his staff for a year too, and that filtered down, and I was able to talk to him and understand the reasoning behind that, and his focus and his philosophy is very simple that there's nothing quicker. You can throw an interception, mm-hmm. and you can fumble the ball, and you can make a big hit, a big catch, and stuff like that on offense and defense. But there's nothing bigger than a block punt. There's nothing bigger than a scoop and score or a kickoff return for a touchdown or a punt return for a touchdown to switch momentum. Mm-hmm.
Fake
and that's
punt
what for a fake get, punt.
Yeah.
And so that is what he was big on, and I think that he passed that on to me a little bit.
There's a lot of people in this country that you could take that are worse coaches that you could take advice from. Coach Beamer is one of the best.
He's one of the
Hall
best.
Of Famer,
he's one
no
of the
question.
Best. Yeah.
Talking about your team going into this game, let's take a look at who might not be around. Of course, we've got our usual guys that are out because of injuries. Is there anyone else that was hurt last week or gimpy? Anybody?
Devin Nesbitt still is complaining about his hip, and so he set out the second half. And I heard him yesterday talking to another player about his hip bothering him. So. I'm not sure what's going on with it.
It's one of those chronic things that you just play.
Yeah,
through.
And we just have to see. We have to see what happens. We certainly don't want him to play with an injury, and if he's injured, we don't want him to play. If he's not injured, then we tell the players all the time that they have to be able to distinguish the difference between pain and injury, and they know that. They know their body. They can tell that.
When he's out there running, he doesn't look too bad.
He doesn't look injured.
He may be hurt.
Yeah,
he may be hurt a little
yeah,
bit,
yeah.
but he's not too injured.
And he's doing very well. I mean,
oh,
really,
excellent
he
job.
He
yeah.
has really come on this year.
I
and really.
Think so
surprise
too.
A lot of us. So, mm-hmm.
Anyone else that I know? Cody Belt came back last week, but he appears to be okay and played well.
Yeah, he's fine. We don't have any injuries this week that's going to keep somebody from playing, which I think is the first time.
Yeah.
So we just have to see what happens. But I can tell you this that. We miss the kids that are out for the season,
yeah.
and we hate it for them and continue to think about them, and Paxton Riley and Jacob Russellberg and Ethan Dossett. Mm-hmm. They're still with us and they're still in our hearts, and I want them to know that.
Last week, It seemed like Brandon Lamy had a good game to me and wanted the ball, and he's the guy that I think's coming on. It can help on the offensive side of the ball and defensively, but he's the guy that's wanting the ball. Of course, Ethan Hunt is our top receiver. Everybody in the state knows that at this point. He's in the top five. So who else have we got now that we can turn to that Hunter can look for? Last week he completed a
number of passes. Mason Myers. Yeah. Mason Myers is one that, that really has come on well.
Mason's a blue collar guy. He brings his lunch pail and he'll get a few touches a game.
He'll get the job done and does well. But I've seen out of him that he, when he gets it, I mean, he does more with it the last few weeks than the couple weeks than what I've seen out of him. So, and this is district game, so every play's gonna make a difference. And you know, we keep waiting on a couple people to come out of the shell, and we're trying to force the issue, but it comes from them. And we're talking about Charlie Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, there are signs of talent when he gets the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, that he has to understand that we want that to happen. We want him to be able to do that because he brings something to the table. You know, but if it's just him touching five or six times a game, he needs to touch it five or six times, and because he runs so hard. Mm-hmm. We're looking for Ben Brown. You know, if he can ever just catch a pass, just catch a pass, just get it in there, then you know, we will understand, he will understand what talent that he has if that happens. So we're still trying to make that happen.
Hunter threw to him a couple of times last week.
And threw a great ball to him one time that it was right at his fingertips. So, you know, and then Jared Lundy's another one that I think that if he ever understands the talent that he has and plays to his potential, you know, then it will be a better football team. But you know, it's got to work that way, and if it doesn't work that way, then we'll just continue to be what we are, and instead of what we can be, and that's the frustrating part as a coach.
What about number four, Gavin Dickerson? Seems like there's some special circumstances. You'll bring him in, put him in the backfield, or throw the ball to him. Something. Any chance he'll play more on offense?
You know, we want to because we understand what he brings to the table. There, if he's in a game, it's probably because it's short yardage. Or because somebody else needs a rest or something like that. What Gavin has to understand is that, you know, I don't want to put him in on offense and tire him out for defense because he's such a value to us on defense, you know. But we want him good on one side and sparing on the other side. Then we want him average on both sides, and so that's where it comes down to. Because I'm gonna tell you, you know, Gavin, you know, when he gets the ball, he's a man, and you know that, and he's hard to bring down. But when he's hard to bring down, then he's spelling energy that he needs for defense. So, you know, hopefully it'll happen that way. Hopefully, you know, we can continue to do that. But, you know, when you have Devin Nesbitt, Charlie Johnson, Mason Myers, Brandon Lamy, and you have all those guys that can run the football, you don't have to put a Gavin in there to do that. So that's where our focus is, and we want to make sure that continues to be that way.
Let's go down in the trenches for a minute and look at some of these guys that we seldom talk about. As it always goes, it's the skill position players that get most of the attention when it comes to the media. But Brady Burke seems to be settling in. This is his first year at Crittenden County. He seems to be playing better the last couple of games. Who else?
I think all the linemen are playing better. I think offensive line, I think they're playing better. They're getting better. They're playing better. And I didn't think that they played bad last week. It's just we were outmatched. Mm-hmm. And so you have Jake Gibson, that's a tackle that plays well and getting better. And the thing that I like about Jake, mm-hmm. is he'll ask you questions. If he doesn't understand it, he'll ask questions. That's what we want as a player, you know, and as coaches, that if they don't understand, we want them to understand. We don't know what they don't know unless they ask. And so so Jake always asks questions about, you know, what he can do to get better. And if they do this, here's what I have, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that helps us as coaches. And then, you know, you have Joseph Estes that's a guard. And, you know, bless his heart, he works as hard as he can possibly work, and he enjoys doing what he's doing and continuing to get better. You know, we have Dakota Kerner at center that has worked hard and is doing a good job. And you know, because if he doesn't, then we have a Porter, Devin Porter, that comes in and does a good job. So and you know, he's working his tail off. And then we have, of course, Burke at guard that is getting better, and he's just a pleasure to have out there. He's always, you know, he's always communicating, talking, and stuff like that to the other kids. And he's a funny one to have out there. He provides humor out there, and we like that stuff. So, and he plays hard. You know, his motor's always going. And you have Adam Beavers at the other tackle, and he continues to get better. And this is his first year at offensive line. So offensive line, we're getting better, and we're working, and they want to get better. Defensive line, you know, we have Sean O'Leary that's a defensive end, and you know, he plays, you know, if he plays good technique, he's got a lot of talent, a lot of ability, and he's young. He has a tendency to take his technique and throw it out the window because that's what he thinks that he can do and get away with it. But
it's a tough position
it's
to play.
Tough. Oh,
that's
it's tough.
It's a lot of technique.
It right is there. Tough, and if you play the right technique, then you're going to make more plays, and that's what we're trying to do. But he's got the ability to do that, and so that's why we're excited about him. And when he does get the technique down, what he's going to bring. And, you know, you have Adam Wright that's as strong as a bull in there. And he's made some plays here the last few games.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And then, of course, Brady Burke and Adam Beavers plays the other defensive line. So, you know, they're doing well. They're playing. They're getting better. They're young. And so I can tell you this, Chris, though, that – and it seems strange, but, you know, this year has been fun. Mm-hmm. The kids have made it fun for us. Yeah. They're young. It's challenging. I get that. But it's been a fun year because, you know, we've had no problems. You know, the kids are great-spirited kids to work with. You know, it's not that they get down and they get on themselves and they go in the tank and all that stuff. No, they're young. They're eager. They want to get better. They want to learn. So it's been fun for us.
Travis Guess is a name that someone asked me after the game. Who's Travis Guess? He kind of showed up in the box score this week. Played a pretty good game. Came in there at the end.
You know, Travis is a tough kid. You know, he's a tough kid that he's a running back, linebacker, does a good job and he's one that also he gets so nervous out there that he kind of forgets what to do sometimes because he's so nervous. But he's fun to watch, and we enjoy him out there and the way he plays, and he's got some talent. But I'm gonna tell you another young kid that I think is going to be something special to watch for, and that's Hunter Jones.
Yeah,
I mean Hunter Jones is he
took off like a banded rabbit on that touchdown the other day.
And he enjoys it. You know, he enjoys being out there. So it's going to be interesting to see these kids grow up, and it'll be fun to watch them grow as they get older.
And these guys, I've got to kick this in here. Of course, my son's on the middle school thing, but hey, they won a big game at Browning Springs last night. That eighth grade bunch is pretty good.
That's a good group, you know. And then when you get that eighth grade bunch mixed with the freshmen and sophomores
when they get older.
Yeah,
they're it's a shame group. You're going to retire soon. And
but that's what I'm saying. That's why it's going to be fun to watch them grow.
All right, Coach Snarts, we open our district play this week at Fulton City. Let's go down there and get the dogs.
All right, buddy.